All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Darwin missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And it is a good one on this Monday. Victory Monday in more than one way. As the New York Giants defeat the Cleveland Browns 21-15. It got a little too close for comfort there at the end, but that performance from the New York Giants after a debacle to start the game. You can't start a game any worse. They fumble the kickoff. First play from scrimmage, Watson hits Cooper in the end zone, down 7-0 before the offense touches the ball. Then they go out there and have a 3-and-out, and you just feel like, here we go. I'm an idiot. I believed in this team again. How did I even consider that they would be able to keep this game close? I feel foolish. It's just what an absolute disaster this team is, this franchise is. Everyone needs to go. And then suddenly, they turn the whole thing around. Even though, you know, they get the biggest play of the game, really, is the roughing the passer call that negates the interception that Daniel Jones throws. Because if that interception sticks, I mean, they're in trouble. But from that moment on, they get that call. They go down the field and punch it in the end zone. And they do it with, obviously, Malik Nabers being an absolute stud. And really, that's the takeaway of the game. Two things for me. I mean, we all know it's the Malik Nabers game, right? And what he's done now, only player in NFL history to have 20 receptions, 3 touchdowns in his first 3 games. Like, it jumps off the page, his ability. The catch down the sideline where he rips it out of the defender's hand over his back and then has the body control to keep his feet in. The touchdown where it feels like he leaps 15 feet in the air to snatch it out of the sky and come down with 2 feet before that hand falls out of bounds. I mean, just the ability of Nabers, obviously, is something special. He's a world-class talent. He's arguably already a top wide receiver in this league. It's just, he runs every route. He gets open. He can make contested catches. He can, you know, make guys miss with the ball, with yards after the catch. Like, he's got everything you need from a stud wide receiver. So that's the easy one, the obvious one. We all know it. It jumped out at us. I also thought just the coach had a great game. We talked so much about him coaching scared. He goes for it on fourth down in a critical spot in this game. It ends up leading to a touchdown. Also, he just stabilized things because it felt like a lot of the last 2 seasons, when things would start to go bad, they would spiral out of control. And off that fumble, off that touchdown, off the 3-and-out, here we go. Here we go. This game is going to get out of hand quickly, and they won't be able to recover from it. They'll have to abandon the run and become one-dimensional, and we know how that goes, and Myles Garrett and everything else that you already foresaw in your mind just suddenly changed as the offense got it going. And Daniel Jones played great. 24 of 34, 236 yards and 2 touchdown passes. Back-to-back games and multiple touchdown passes. He's played well the last 2 games, but this coaching staff, and then even Bowen with the defensive coordinator, what he did, and they even talked about it, the Browns, the coach and Watson, talked about how they didn't see that coming. That the Giants' defense of the first 2 weeks where they weren't going to rush much, they weren't going to blitz much, they were going to play back, they were going to try and play this bend but don't break, where to the point where, what's the difference between breaking or bending the way they played against Washington? And they changed up their game plan, and they brought pressure. And Burns got home for a strip sack, and Thibodeau got home for a half a sack. And there was Sexy Dexy does what he does. And it just felt like the defense with their 8 sacks smothered this team, smothered Watson. They couldn't get anything going. Plus, with the way the offense played, just it was a crisp game from the coaching staff, who I thought had a really good game to stabilize it, to have this offensive game plan. And for Daniel Jones, what I think, it's not only how good Malik Nabers is, it's we finally found the one thing that can actually help his game, right? Because we've talked about it for years. Whenever every Daniel Jones defender or whatever, or just Giant fan, because we all know he's been ruined. I think even the most, you know, hard-knit, Daniel Jones denier or don't think Daniel Jones is very good, you know, you have to admit that the franchise has done nothing for him. They've done absolutely zero other than give him Brian Daboll and maybe Saquon Barkley. Have done nothing to help him be successful. I mean, they have failed him at almost every turn. I think everyone would have to admit that. And we've constantly talked about what he needs and what he doesn't have. And he needs if he only had an offensive line, if he only had a big wide receiver, you had a 50-50 ball wide receiver, so you go out and get the guy from Detroit, who is just an absolute disaster. Like, there was always a reason of what they needed and what he was missing. And to finally say, well, you know, he's always needed that stud wide receiver. He's never had that stud wide receiver. And watching him operate in an offense where he's got such a talent out there that he doesn't have to think, that he doesn't necessarily always have to go through his progressions, that he knows if I have the slightest bit of window, and they talked about it they were talking about how the Giants talked about it. The broadcast was saying him and Malik Nabers were talking about it. Just put the ball somewhere where it's either his or nobody's. And he's going to make the play. It's that simple. It's simplified the game, his ability, for Daniel Jones and this offense. And watching him go through it and watching him be able to make these plays. Like I brought up the example in the third quarter. They got Malik Nabers lined up in the slot. He beats his guy. He's going down the field. He's wide open, got 3 steps behind the defender. Jones just misses him. And they come back and run the same play. And that's building an identity. That's saying, you know what? We saw it. It worked. I'm going to keep doing it until you stop it. Now, it ended up being an incomplete pass. But I love the idea. Hey, we just saw something that worked. We're going to go right back to it. Like, I love that mindset. They need that kind of mindset. He's their player. He's their identity. This passing attack with Jones and Nabers is the Giants' identity. And it works far better. Even 2 weeks in, you can just tell it works for Daniel Jones better than the identity of run the ball with Saquon Barkley and try and not make mistakes in the pass game. That was the identity for the team that went to the playoffs 2 years ago. And where Jones eventually developed got to the point where for that playoff game against Minnesota, he was capable of doing more. But ultimately, it limited what they could be. And it limited who Daniel Jones can be. And watching this performance and watching what he's been able to do with Malik Nabers and have back-to-back touchdown passes, throw touchdown passes to wide receivers, like, that's something we haven't seen. And despite the fact that we saw it last week, it still led to a loss. This week was a complete game. The coaching staff met up with the offense and Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones and gave us, at least for one day, as we get ready for the Cowboys on Thursday, a victory Monday. And a game that we could at least look at and say, hey, I saw reasons to believe in this team and the season's not dead just yet. And I saw Daniel Jones play well. And we saw how well, what kind of a talent Malik Nabers is. And this defense can adjust and come up with a game plan that can throw a monkey wrench into the workings of the opponent's offense. Like, we saw some things. We saw them overcome a disastrous start, right? The kicker, I know they didn't lose necessarily because of that play, but the kicker tears his hamstring on the kick return that doesn't even count, but it seemed like that set the ball rolling for a bad afternoon. We know what happened last year, the 40-0 block field goal. Like, anything bad happens, this team spins out of control. And to have that start and then to still come back with that offensive performance, positive game for the New York Giants, who still have a lot more to do. Daniel Jones still has a lot more to do. This coach still has a lot more to do. Even Malik Nabers has a lot more to do. But at least it was a a competent game that you end up feeling okay about the Giants after it. 1-2, right there with the Cowboys, who they'll take on Thursday night, and they'll have to step up and welcome the Cowboys in on a short week after they just got, you know, two games at home in their building. They've lost two consecutive games in a building that they didn't lose in for 2 years. So which one is it? Are you getting an angry, pissed-off Cowboys team that's been embarrassed, or are you getting a flawed team that hasn't found its footing? Either way, Giants have a chance on Thursday, and it's going to be a big game. Not as big as tomorrow night. Mets-Braves, though, as the New York Mets take 3 out of 4 against the Philadelphia Phillies and set themselves up for an incredible series against Atlanta coming on Tuesday with a 2-game lead, with an opportunity to win 2 out of 3 and celebrate in Atlanta. With this pitching staff that's just been remarkable, the game last night was just managed with such an urgency to pull the starting pitcher there, McGill, in the 4th inning and go right to your bullpen that's been rested and have guys like Maton step up and give you 2 shutout innings, Buto go in there and pitch shutout innings, and then to trust Diaz for 6 outs after getting 4 outs the night before. And to win a game, McGill versus Wheeler, where you only scored 2 runs. The Mets pitching staff is crazy. Their luck and their, I shouldn't even say luck because people are going to assume it's a negative, but a ball bounces off. Like, they've worked hard to earn the right to have good luck, and boy, do they have it. And right now, they are just as hot as anyone, the best record in baseball since June 1st. Their pitching staff is the best in baseball. The lineup is a little up and down, but you know how devastating it can be. We saw Pete Alonso tip the cap, as it might have been the last game at Citi Field for Pete Alonso, but that's a secondary story to this team winning this wild card. So we got Mets, we got Giants, Victory Monday. Let's get into the calls. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good,
yeah, luck is the phrase, luck is the residue of design. Yes. Branch Rickey said that.
Yes, it was.
I think he was quoting like an English poet or something. Or something. I don't know.
I don't know. But I say it now and pretend to be smart.
Sounds good. No, you're smart. The thing is, as a Mets fan, I'm extremely – winning the game tonight was huge. If you win a McGill-Wheeler matchup, that's
where you scored 2 runs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just – it's not like you got to Wheeler. He's pitching deep into this game. He gave up 2 runs. I mean, this pitching staff, you just keep saying they're doing it with their pitching. I know they had that, they scored 10 runs in 3 consecutive games, but they've been doing this with their pitching. I mean, they're doing without Lindor. I mean, they've won 6 of 7 without Lindor. He's been their guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
Maton was a nice pickup.
Oh, my God. Maton was an incredible pickup.
This guy, Stanek's been pitching better. These old Houston guys, these guys know what it's like. And Taylor has to play every day. Taylor's a solid player.
He's worked himself into playing every day. And I'll tell you what, how do you take Acuna out of the lineup? Like, even if Lindor comes back and is healthy, which I'm not sure he will, but let's say Lindor's back and plays, like, what do you do?
What you do is you could put you put Acuna at second, you put Iglesias at third, and the Adrian Yankos.
Yeah. Right, I mean that's probably what you do, because you're not. I mean, right now is JD Martinez hit himself out of the lineup? I know back to back days, he back to back days without an off day, pinch hit yesterday. But I mean, he's played himself out of this lineup.
I mean, you want to face lefties, but the lefties you're facing are Sale and Freed, two of the better lefties. And here's the reality of it is, and I hate to say it, but it's true. If they don't make the playoffs now, as much fun as it's been, and it's been great, Grimace, OMG and all, it's going to be a huge disappointment.
Oh,
I have to admit it. And
huge.
I think that's what we all fear. And you got to remember, it's only 2 games, but here's a bright side. Don't forget, we could still get in by finishing ahead of Arizona. And they have a tough
Have to finish ahead of Arizona. You just have to finish tied with Arizona.
Yeah, tied them. And they're playing the last 3 games against San Diego. So I think they're going to get in. It's just a totally different vibe than 20. Got to remember, 2022, we had got swept at home against the Cubs. The Grom got destroyed against the A's 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
You started seeing little signs, little holes in the armor, so to speak. Yeah, and I don't see that this year. Every time you think they're going to take a step back, they come up big like tonight. And I just don't see them going in and like, there's no way they're getting swept in Atlanta. There's no way.
I wouldn't think so. That's what I'm saying. But it's that's why it's twofold. One, you don't want to get, you don't want, if you blow this thing in Atlanta, right, it ruins the season. It ruins and tarnishes all the fun. You know, maybe in a couple years you could look back on it, and hopefully if it's the start of something, if you win next year, then you can look back fondly at this year and say, hey, that was the building block and that was where it started. But it'll ruin this year, no doubt. And not only does it ruin this year, it ruins the opportunity of what this team can do. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, you got to know what this team can do in the postseason. Because, I mean, right now, they've had the best record in baseball for 4 months. Like, after a while, it's no long, like, I understand the first 2 months count just as much, but, and they were 11 games under 500, but, I mean, they've been the best team in baseball for 4 months. This pitching staff is out of control. Manaea has found something. Severino is steady. Peterson's done a really good job. Quintana's on a, you know, on a scoreless inning streak. To go along with an offense that really top to bottom has a really good, a really good lineup where you have solid players up and down the lineup and guys having career years like Iglesias and Taylor. Like, I want to see what this team can do in the postseason. Plus, hopefully, a closer who gave you a year, 2 years ago, that's as good as any reliever in history, is rounding into form. You've got your bullpen rounding into form, your rotation's unbelievable and the best in baseball, and your lineup top to bottom has as many solid hitters, without saying great, as many solid hitters as any team in baseball. That seemed to be clutch, and there seems to be some sort of magic working here. If that, and that's like, if the magic stops because you saw the Braves late in the year, like you always do, like if this is the same story we've seen with the Mets, like it kills the magic and it kills what you could have been. Yeah, there is no joy in Mudville. You lose the series. There is no, well, hey, it was still a fun season. Nobody expected this. If you would have told me in April, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. Adam in Roslyn. What's up, Adam?
D-Mac, I'll be quick. I got a 422 train, but
okay.
Just looking back to 2022, I did not think that we were going to get this opportunity again so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I am so fired up because that 2022, that series in Atlanta, it killed me. It killed the past 2 years of kind of rooting for this team because I just needed that opportunity to get this back. And now we got it. I've never seen these guys be so hot at the end of the season like this. I'm so fired up. Just three quick things. Mendoza's been incredible.
Yep.
His ability to bench the right guys and to just play the hot hand has just been awesome. It's worked. I was skeptical in the beginning. He's been awesome. Acuna, to your point, has to stay in the lineup. And then just one little nitpick. Alvarez, he's got to get off that right leg with guys on base because something bad's going to come of that. There's going to be a bad wild pitch or a pass ball. That's my only nitpick.
Yeah, it's not going to happen now. They're not going to do it now to him. They're not going to suddenly change his stance.
That's my only thing. But otherwise, I'm so fired up.
Yeah.
You're doing great. And
oh,
I can't wait for the series.
Well, I mean, listen, you got it. I mean, there's other things. I mean, they're not a perfect team. They you know, the offense has kind of gone dormant here, and they've struggled with runners in scoring position. And Lindor, like, my fear is Lindor comes back and struggles because he's hurt. Like, that's a fear. Like, they force Lindor back into the lineup because he's Lindor, and rightfully so. How do you not play him? And then he struggles because he's hurt. And this team has had its issues with runners in scoring position. It scored runs in bunches. It's hit big home runs. It's had the occasional 10, 12-run outburst. But we've seen it time and time again. They struggle with runners in scoring position, which is what you need to do come postseason time. So there are flaws. They're not perfect. But when I look at the other teams and I look at the pitching and how it's falling apart in L.A., Philadelphia is about as complete a team as you can have, and they just took 3 out of 4 from them without Lindor. I mean, you look at the rest of the league, why not them? They've played as well as anyone. So, yeah, they're not perfect, but they're good enough. And it is a bit about revenge, right? Because who wouldn't want to... Like, the idea, like, think about it, Met fans, the idea that on Wednesday night, this very Wednesday night, you could be watching your team, the New York Mets, celebrate in that building, celebrate in Atlanta, and knowing that Most likely. I don't know all the scenario. I guess if Arizona lost both games to San Francisco, the Braves could still be in it, but I got to double check on that. But you could effectively be ending the Braves' season and celebrating a playoff berth in their building. Like, that's as good as it gets. Now, you want to talk about, right, a season of destiny. Right, who is it sometimes, was Evan saying, who's saying that sometimes if you're going to break a streak, if you're going to do something special, you got to go out and like do it in the most weird way or the most, like if you're going to actually get to the promised land, you got to do it in some sort of amazing fashion. And what would be better? Like if you are going to go back to the World Series, if you're going to go win your first World Series since 1986, what a better way than to go into the building and verse a team that has owned you for 3 decades, that has beat you at almost every turn in every big spot, including 2 years ago, the best regular season you had since the 80s, to go into their building, end their season, and celebrate? It's as good as it gets. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls. McMonagle here with you till 5 right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I don't like what that last Met caller said. I gotta be honest. We're not worried about how to sneak in even if you lose to Atlanta. Right, me and Rami were talking about it. Well, how would you feel? I guess it would matter, right? You want to be in there. But you can't lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves and then get in because Arizona lost a couple. You got to take it to the Braves. This is the opportunity. This series is it. Go out there and take it. I'm so sick and tired about hearing how great the Atlanta Braves are. Their time is over. This is your time. Your time. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Giants and Yanks won, so that's a good thing.
Giants and Yanks so and Mets, Giants, everybody.
Yes. I was looking at the defensive stats. They had 8 sacks yesterday.
8 sacks.
That definitely, and two forced fumbles. I think one of them resulted in a touchdown, because I know they were on the 30-yard line at Cleveland when they got the ball. But, they overall pretty good game. I mean, the second half scared me a little bit. I mean, I know they didn't really score anything in the second half.
Yeah, they went into let's not blow this mode, which I hate. But they recognized what you just said about the defense. They didn't think Cleveland excuse me, they didn't think Cleveland could go down the field, and they weren't going to make a mistake. They weren't going to turn the ball over and give them a short field. And the broadcast was talking about it. What has Cleveland shown you to make you think they can get the ball down the field? Watson's awful right now. The defense was getting pressure. They were losing offensive linemen by the minute, and they were just dominating the line of scrimmage. And so the Giants went into, let's not lose this game by making a bad mistake, and they took their foot off the gas offensively, and it almost cost them. It almost cost them because the game got way, way too close. I mean, they had the ball with a six, you know, with only a 6-point deficit. I mean, they had an opportunity to go down to take the field. And we saw the famous down by two touchdowns, you go for the 2-point conversion when you score the first one, which everyone seems to get annoyed by. But so they made it a 6-point game with an opportunity to win the game and had the football. And honestly, I don't know how the wide receiver doesn't make that catch. Watson made a handful of good throws in that game. That was one of them. I mean, that was right on the money, right in his hands. The Giants came very close to losing a game they had no business losing because they took their foot off the pedal offensively.
Yeah, well, they caught a good quarterback play by Jones and the Neighbors with the two touchdowns. They look phenomenal together.
Yeah, I mean,
that's definitely a match made in heaven. Those two, they're gonna definitely do something great for the future.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm still not there that Daniel Jones is the future. I'll be totally honest with you. I'm still not there that Daniel Jones is the future. And I mean, I'll give you my take on it for a second. I mean, Daniel Jones played a great football game. He played very well for Daniel Jones. I don't think it was an unbelievable display of quarterback play. He played very well. Neighbors was incredible. Daniel Jones did throw an interception that was negated by a penalty that was after he threw it. Daniel Jones did damn near miss two touchdown passes in the back end zone, in the back corner of the end zone, where he had Theo Johnson for a touchdown. He overthrew him. And then the Malik Neighbors is wide open. He's got to jump 10 feet in the air. Like, do you remember, you know what it reminded me of? It's an incredible catch. Do you remember playing Super Tecmo Bowl? It's an old Nintendo game. No, yeah, Rami has no idea. It's Nintendo, Rami. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. We used to have to blow into the discs and put it back when it wasn't working, push down. There was obviously the football game, Super Tecmo Bowl, or Tecmo Super Bowl, whichever one it was. And when you threw a touchdown pass or scored a touchdown, they would cut to these little graphics of the team celebrating. And for the running back scoring a touchdown, it was simply just him, whatever. For different things, like even when you'd make a pass, like you would make a pass and they would show like a brief thing of the wide receiver diving. And he either caught it or it went off his fingertips. They would show like a brief thing of the guy diving. And there was one where he would catch a high pass and jump all the way up in the air and catch the ball and then come down. Like, that was how high Malik Neighbors jumped to catch that ball. That touchdown pass and catch should not have been that difficult. But having said that, he matriculated the ball down the field. He didn't make any mistakes. I thought he handled the pressure better than he has in a long time. He would just, like, even there was a blitzer that was uncovered. We've seen it before. There's a guy on the line, uncovered. He came running right at him. And instead of just taking the sack, he took a half a step to his right and tossed the ball to the running back. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Daniel Jones played very well in this game. No doubt. I haven't seen enough in 2 weeks to change my opinion that he is the future of this team. I am not there yet. A lot more needs to be done. So do I think Malik Neighbors and him are going to be doing this for a long time? No. I think Malik Neighbors will be. I don't know if it will be with Daniel Jones. Scott in Stamford. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, hi. I just had a question. I don't know if somebody brought this up before because I just came on, but there was that play at the end of the Giant game where the running back went down running towards the end zone, and then he stopped short and he slid.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I get one side of it about, they want to run the clock off, but at that point, I think they're up by 6, and they could have gone up by, 13 at that point if he went in?
With 12 guaranteed and 13 if he kicked the extra point, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I'm just wondering, I mean, would it really have made a difference? Put points on the board,
Yeah, I disagree with you. There is no argument. You're wrong. Now, would it have made a difference overall? No, they probably still win the game. But that ends the game right there. Like, theoretically, if you give them a touchdown there, they could return the kickoff and then get an onside kick and get the ball back, as unlikely as that is. And you're right, they probably win the game anyway. By sliding and staying in bounds, the game is effectively over. It's over. Anytime you anytime you can just end the game, you end the game. There's no worrying about spreads, or you're not trying to get, you know, points to try and, you know, get into a college football playoff. Like, there's nothing. Win the game. That was absolutely 100% the right play because, say it with me now, it ended the game. That's right, kids. Very good. And I don't mean to be sarcastic with you. I'm just saying there is no two sides. Well, actually, I did. I was sarcastic with you clearly on purpose. There is no two sides to that argument. You could do it anyway and say, hey, go score a touchdown, feel good about yourself, let the score look bigger, maybe it'll help us all feel better about things. I suppose. I don't know. It's stupid, but maybe. But there is no argument what's the smarter play. The smarter play is to end the game as soon as possible. Richard in Manhattan. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris. You know, thank God Daniel Jones had two games away from Giants Stadium.
Yeah.
After the miserable, yeah.
I think that probably did help. I think there is something to that.
Yeah. He could not have gone to Giants Stadium either last week or this week after the miserable game, the first game. He would have been booed out of the stadium.
Well, he's going to be cheered heading into this one off of victory. Yeah. So let's see if he can build on it.
Oh, yeah. And with the Mets, I don't touch Lindor. Let him get better on his own. Don't shoot him up with cortisone. Don't rush him back. I remember Pat Riley rushed back Alonzo Mourning 25 years ago. He had a great regular season. He tried to bring him Mourning in the playoffs, and they failed miserably. It upset the name of the center.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's a level of injured or, you know, discomfort he could be feeling where it makes no sense, but if he can play through it and still play the game, I don't know.
It's not broke, Chris. It's not broke. Acuna's playing great. You can't play better than the kid. Leave him in there. I don't care if it's Babe Ruth in right field coming back.
You can't. The guy's been your MVP.
I don't like Brett.
The guy's it been your broken. MVP. You're going to tell
he
him
was
you can't.
He was hurt.
You're going to tell him you've been Wally Pipped? You're going to tell Lindor he's been Wally Pipped?
No, it's not, Chris. It's not one or the other.
He is
hurt. No, it isn't because he's hurt. He's coming back hurt.
If he tells you he's fine and the doctors say he's fine, how do you tell him
no? Okay. All right. Let's see. You know, I love what the Mets are doing. I've never seen two completely different teams, two completely different managers or coaches, 2022-2024.
Right.
Getting this job done if they get into the playoffs this year. Two different, totally different teams, different general managers, different pitching staffs, different everything, different dependency on your main player, Pete Alonso. I mean, everything has changed, and they both make the playoffs like this. Total surprises. I've never seen it in all my years in watching New York sports. Now, they haven't gotten anything done yet, but these have been two great seasons. Oh, totally unexpected. 2 years apart, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love what Major League Baseball has done. This last week, you got 14 teams. Nobody is set up, including the Yankees, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. None of them are really set up yet. Well, Philadelphia probably, because they'll get the number. They've clinched one or two. But even the Yankees, none of them have clinched. They still got to play for something. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, I don't want to see anybody say we're locked in. It doesn't matter. I want to see every game till the end of the season for every team still vying for the playoffs have to play for something. Chris, the only thing I don't like, there's not enough of an advantage for the teams with the best records in regular season in the playoffs. I still believe that the first round, best of three, all three games should be at the three and the four. The three and the four seeds. All our games should be home games for those three and four. And in the second round, the best of five, I believe the first game should be at the worst seeded team, and the next four should be at a team with the one or the two seed.
Yeah, that's interesting. No. But maybe. No, I don't. I mean, I'm not focused on that right now. You're right. Listen, not even you were wrong. Even the Phillies haven't clinched the one or two seed because they haven't clinched the division yet. So theoretically, if they lost every game and the Mets won every game, the Mets could still win the division, I believe. So they haven't clinched that yet. Everything's up for grabs. I don't hate the format. I don't know if I love it necessarily. I thought the wild card game was fine. I really did. I thought it's what gave the advantage to winning the division. The players felt like it's not fair because baseball is a game of series, and now you're asking us for one game where anything could happen. Yeah, that's the point. I mean, don't be a wild card team. Go win your division. You don't have to worry about it. So it has made it less important to win your division, no doubt. I think at any point now, if you're a team like, let's say, the Yankees, although they'll have it wrapped up by then, I would hope, but if you have a choice between winning the last game of the season or last two games of the season to win your division or set up your pitching staff for the playoffs, it's going to be an interesting conversation. Last year's World Series was entirely wild card teams. So you can make the argument, and we're going to find out, because I think you can make the argument over the last 2 years, it's beneficial to be the wild card team because you play, win a series, gain confidence, get hot, while the guys who are gotten the bye are waiting around and have more off days than they typically have, while the other team is playing every day like you typically do. So I think it's not big enough of a sample size to definitively say it seems to be advantage one way or the other. I would still rather play less games. I mean, I think that's hard to get around. I understand the wild card could be successful forever. I'll still say, why do I want to bother? But for me, the Yankees winning the number one seed, just to talk on the Yankees for a second, because I haven't hardly talked about them at all, and it is Yankee hot stove. So, I mean, I have a quota to fill. To talk about them for a moment, the reason I don't care about the bye, I don't care about the wild card series, like that's less of, I want the division for that. I want the number one seed for one reason and one reason only. Because even though I want them, even though I want to take on those hated Astros because I want revenge, I feel much more confident in it in a seven-game series. Because Framber Valdez, and I guess we got to find out about Alvarez, who got banged up sliding into second base. I haven't double-checked what that injury was, but he got pulled out of the game. Not that I'm rooting for injuries, but hey, if you don't have to face him, that makes them less of a threat, I would think. But I'd rather, considering their top-end left-handed pitching, and I know you're going to say Kikuchi is top-end, he's killed the Yankees. So you got Framber Valdez and Kikuchi at the top of the rotation. I don't want to have to face them four times. So the idea that you could get them in a seven-game series is much more beneficial to the New York Yankees. So that's what I want to avoid, because they're the one team I think is the biggest threat. Now, they could lose to anybody other than the Minnesota Twins. They play anybody but the Twins, the Yankees could lose. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're world beaters. But I do think the toughest competition is the Houston Astros because of previous history, their rotation, and just a group that has year in and year out performed in the postseason. So it's important to get this distinction of being the number one seed in the American League. And if they do, all of the hand wringing, all of the screaming, all of the complaining, all of the, oh, there's not enough urgency and all this and blah, 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 it's going to mean absolutely nothing. Because they could have won 140 games. It wouldn't have changed a damn thing. They're going to finish with the best record. They're going to have the home field advantage throughout. And they're going to right now, currently, have their best roster available. 888-808-1019. It's good right now. And they just went on a West Coast trip, won 5 out of 6. I feel extremely confident about the Yankees, as confident as I've ever felt since 2017. I have never felt more confident. Maybe 19, I don't know, but this is pretty high. I've never felt more, maybe the same, but I've never felt more confident in a group. When you look at the rest of the American League, you look at how they're playing, you look at how healthy they are, you look at how the bullpen is rounded into form, you look at how the rotation is rounded into form. They have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in the middle of the lineup. I have never been more confident in the New York Yankees. And honestly, how could you ever have been more confident than the New York Mets? Right now, both these teams heading in maybe 2006 for both of them at the same time, the same year. Both of them in 06, they both won 97 games, both were the number one seeds in the American and National League. It was destined for another Subway Series. And you know the Yankees got tripped up by the Tigers, and we know what happened in the NLCS. So hopefully that's a little bit different this year. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you. Your phone calls to the end. You know it. Rapid fire style if there's enough of you. So let's go. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:51 on this Reaction Monday. Obviously, other games in the NFL yesterday besides the Giant game. We saw the Sunday night game, we could, you know, another non-call, a penalty benefiting the Kansas City Chiefs as they took down the Falcons 22-17. And can I just speak for all fantasy owners? Because I don't like to do this. I really don't. I don't want to be the guy who's like focused on fantasy football because we know they're not. No one cares. But why is Bijan Robinson not getting the ball in big moments down the stretch of the game? Like, I don't. Last year was such a debacle with how they used him. And, like, all we heard going into the year was that it was going to be different and he was going to be the focal point of the offense. And still, he's not out there in critical drives in the fourth quarter. The guy is a dynamic player. It just drives me nuts. But they get a non-pass interference call on Pitts in the end zone. And the Chiefs are starting to look a little bit like last year where, I mean, Kelce looks old. Even Collinsworth was saying it at the end of the half. Like, this is the third game. We have not seen that Kelce magic. Yeah, where were you last year when we didn't see it until the postseason? And that's the thing. Like, you still feel like it's going to be there. But right now, it's like, they have one wide receiver. How about the Vikings? I picked them. They were one of my picks, so I feel good about it. But 34-7 over the Texans. They are 3-0, and they are dominating. Like, now after that debacle, I know they're banged up, but after the debacle from San Francisco blowing that game to L.A., maybe you feel a little bit less, you know, like in shock of their victory over the Niners. But, I mean, they dominated the Giants, which isn't saying much. Then they go beat the 49ers. Then the Texans, who are, you know, a top five Super Bowl favorite, come into the building and get just absolutely throttled. And Sam Darnold, I mean, Sam Darnold.
It's going to be great when they go to J.J. McCarthy next year and he stinks.
I know, right? They move on from Sam Darnold and he picks up somewhere else playing for, I don't know, who knows, the Titans after Will Levis. I mean, Jesus, this guy. Now, Malik Willis played better than I thought he would. He's done a really nice job. But Will Levis just throws the ball to the other team way too much. And that's usually a problem. The big ups, one of the big upsets, caller mentioned it before, the Broncos over the Bucs. I honestly didn't think that was that big of a surprise. 26-7 was. But I don't think Tampa Bay is that good. I really don't. I don't think Tampa Bay is that good. I don't love their defense. I know Baker Mayfield's played well, but I have to, you know, I just don't know. And let's be honest, Todd Bowles is a great defensive coordinator. I don't think he's much of a head coach. So the idea that they were home big favorites like that, that they could blow that game, yeah, I mean, I in my whatever stupid, you know, pick pool I'm in, I picked the Broncos, but I didn't see 26-7. And, you know, Bo Nix played well in the game. And finally, Peyton was able to get some sort of game plan where Nix was able to, you know, make plays, get down the field. He actually uses his athleticism, ran one in for a score. Panthers, Raiders. Obviously, you bring in Andy Dalton, it makes a world of difference. You have a quarterback in there who can actually function. Now, they've done a terrible job with Young. I mean, they've done him no favors. He's had three coaches in 2 years. I don't know if he can play or not, but they've given him No, and then they bring in a coach who's supposed to turn around within 2 weeks. They're moving on to Andy Dalton. You see why? Because Andy Dalton can actually make an offense work, and everybody, all the talk about how the roster's better this year and the Panthers won't be the worst team in the division. There was actually some talk about, you know, I saw a bunch of people saying, you know, a smart bet is to pick them to win the division. And you can see they can play. But the 49ers absolutely threw away a game to the Rams. I mean, just threw away a game. I know they're banked up. So are the Rams. Rams have nobody. The Rams have absolutely nobody. And the pass and the defensive penalties at the end of the game to just give them field goal position was just atrocious. And then, of course, the Ravens holding on for dear life, which is the one I sweated out the most because I had them attached to everything. I had them parlayed, which I know you're not supposed to go against zero, but I consider minus one like zero. I had them in parlays. I had them in teasers. I was sweating that bad boy out as they absolutely were trying to give Dak Prescott and the Cowboys that game.
It was exactly what we said on Friday.
It was exactly what I said on Friday with the picks. We talked about they are now 21-1 against NFC teams. The one loss was a 10-point loss to the 10-point lead that they blew in the fourth quarter to the Giants 2 years ago. Other than that, they are 21-0. Against NFC teams, and their issue is they tend to throw these games away, and it's amazing because you wouldn't think with Lamar, right, and with Harbaugh.
And Derrick Henry just
And Derrick Henry, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's no excuse. Now, I know they got an onside kick, but still, like, there is no excuse to allow that game to get down to where it was.
They also had a million defensive penalties.
And is Mark Andrews hurt? Like, he wasn't even involved in the game plan.
I saw he played only, like, 33% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, you know. I know he was banged up during camp, but he had week one. He had no injury designation, and likely
Justin
goes
Tucker's
off.
Starting to become a
I know,
problem.
And Justin Tucker he's missed a couple now in the first 2 weeks.
He's
first
been
3 weeks.
The worst kicker in the league so far from 50 plus.
This Has year. He really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know 50 plus is a high standard.
But yeah, but still the
everyone
worst.
Everyone across
the worst
league
is not
hitting,
a high standard. Yeah, well, that's what I'm
50
saying.
50 plus, and he isn't.
Cowboy kicker was for 65 in this game. Right? Aubrey went, 65-yard field goal, Brandon Aubrey. Field goal kicking is getting very easy. It is like I know you miss some, obviously. We saw Butker miss an extra point for the first time in a year, but, like, don't you, like, 65, and he made it easy. He didn't even look like he kicked that hard.
Yeah, the leg motion just looks so
very simple.
And easy, yeah.
But overall, I don't know. Nothing too exciting other than the Giants. I don't know if there's any landscape changing. I mean, the Packers are winning without Love. The Steelers are undefeated, beat the Chargers 20-10. The Vikings are undefeated. The
and
Saints
Seattle's
and Eagles
undefeated.
Played a... I'm sorry?
Seattle's undefeated.
Seattle's
also.
Undefeated too, yes.
Which of those three undefeated teams are you buying?
I think the Vikings. I have to admit, I think the Vikings, they've done it impressively, and I don't trust the Steelers' offense as good as that defense is. And the defense is legit. All right, that's it for me. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami, thank you for hanging out. Everybody, let's go. The warm-up show is next, followed by the morning show with Boomer and Gio. We got a big day. We'll come back. I'll see you at 2 a.m. We start the preview already. Mets, Braves. We could even throw in Yankees, Orioles. Pennant race baseball is fun. McMonagle, I'm out. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. All right,
parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.